Welcome to Off the Cut, a podcast where we talk about building, making,
and answering all of your questions.
I'm Eric from Spensley Design Co.
And I'm Zach from Zach Builds. If you have a question that you would like us to answer on air, you can send it to offthecutpodcast@gmail.com.
You can find both of us on YouTube, Instagram, and unfortunately, because we have to keep up with kids, you can find us on TikTok too.
All right, now let's get into the show.
Good morning, Vietnam.
He went for it.
I had to go for it.
A podcast where we talk about building.
Why is it looping?
And answering
all. Come on.
Oh, there's a little checkbox here that says loop that I just failed to not click. Okay, well, hey,
this is part of the show. This is what the people. This is what they pay for.
Exactly. Right?
Well, good morning, Vietnam, and welcome to Off the Cut, episode 50. We're up in Toronto. Today is known as Tuesday, December 31st, 2023. Mm-hmm. But here in Ohio, today is respectfully dedicated to the food of the day, Brussels sprouts.
Oh, okay.
It's a food.
It's a food. It's a legit food. We haven't had that in a while. How do you feel about Brussels sprouts? I like them.
Yeah, I put them in my mouth.
I don't understand why is there the meme of kids not eating their Brussels sprouts?
It's because adults don't know how to cook them.
But of all the vegetables, they're like the least objectionable. Like they're just like little, I don't know, like little lettuce balls almost.
They're like miniature cabbages.
Yeah, it's not like they have like a bad taste or anything. If anything, they're just like a little bland, but it's not like they actively taste bad.
I mean, I don't think they taste bad. I think what people view of them as,
I got me excited. I opened it off screen because it's not an official bubbly. It's an off brand.
Hey,
it's tangerine flavor. It's nice.
Times are tough. I get it, Zach.
Mm-hmm. It's a recession, they keep saying, right?
Yeah, something like that. But I think the Brussels sprouts dilemma stems from old people cooking the snot out of them.
Making them like a soggy mess, essentially.
Yeah. It's gross. Nobody likes overcooked vegetables.
That's true. Do you do the little crosses in the bottom of your Brussels sprouts?
I'm not familiar.
I think it's just you cut like a little X in the bottom of them so that they cook more evenly throughout them.
I've never heard of that.
It's a time suck. I'm not sure it's worth it. Okay. That's also a Peep Show reference for all the people who watch the TV show Peep Show.
I've heard of it, never watched the show.
I think that's my favorite TV show of all time. And I'm one of these guys who has a hard time picking a favorite of anything, but Peep Show is definitely my favorite TV show.
Okay. So yeah. give me the 15-30 second synopsis of this show and see if you can sell me on it.
Okay, so it's your basic roommate sitcom. Two guys, one guy's neat, one guy's very disorganized and kind of a slob, but you can hear their inner dialogue and everything is shot from either one of their POVs. So there's literally never a shot that's not through their eyes and you can hear their inner dialogue.
Okay, yeah, that was pretty close.
See, it's not a bad little
hook.
It sounds
interesting. It sounds very similar. Well, I guess not at all similar, but similar to the show You.
Isn't that the one of the stalker guy?
Yeah. But a lot of the show is like him like doing stuff, and then he's like, "Oh my god, I want to kill her so bad," or like, "Why is she doing this? I love this girl." It's like you hear her thoughts, kind of cool.
Yes, yeah. It's like that, but nothing like the rest of the show is nothing like that. But the inner dialogue thing is you're spot on with that.
I kind of like it's a unique format.
Yes. And like, again, you see everything through their eyes. So it's all like weird, like fisheye lens. It's interesting.
Huh. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I could check it out.
Dry British comedy.
What streaming service is it on?
A lot of it's actually on YouTube because I don't think English channels really care that much about copyright. So you can find most of the episodes on YouTube. They're not the best quality versions, but they're all just there.
Hey,
yeah.
I check it out. I check it out.
I'm going to hold you to that. Next week, I'm going to be like, you watch any episodes?
I probably won't. I got so much going on this week.
Oh, yeah? What do you got going on?
We just got back. One of my friends, she's moving to Texas. Did I tell you about my friend that bought a school bus and like made it like a tiny home kind of deal?
I think you did a while ago, but it refreshed me on it and the listeners too.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Oh, LaCroix.
Yeah. Watermelon. It's actually pasticue. That's what it says on there.
Evidently, it's not a recession in Ohio right now.
I told you, I got a bunch of these. $239 for an 8-pack.
Yeah, that's a good deal.
Yeah. But so my friend Haley bought a school bus not too long ago. Like a full school bus. Not the short bus.
Yeah.
Full one. Probably 25 seater, right?
Okay. Deep. Is there different lengths of school buses? Like, oh, that's a 32 footer. Okay.
I think hers is the max length that you can get without having a CDL commercial driver's license.
Gotcha.
But so she got this from someone who wanted to make it like convert it to like a tiny home basically and did let's call it 75% of the work.
Okay.
So like it was livable already, but was very, very bare.
Right.
And so she did a little bit extra work, had to do a bunch of like engine work and whatnot on it. And now's the time. She's moving, taking it, driving it to Texas. And is she works from home. So she's just going to do some
digital nomad stuff.
Yeah, digital nomad stuff.
Yeah, so I like that.
I think that's really cool. But so this weekend, we a group of like 12 of us, we all got together and did a little like going away party thing. Mm-hmm. So we rented a big, big house down in like, at a place called Hocking Hills, which for us is like a campy hiking area. We just kind of get away.
Okay.
It was a great time, but it was really nice to just get away from everything.
Is that like a kind of a little tongue in cheek, like goodbye to living in a nice normal house? Like,
well, no, that wasn't the sentiment of it.
Let's show her what she's missing.
Right. Yeah. No, she's all in on it. I think that's pretty cool though.
Really cool. I've wanted to do that for some time. I think it'd be really tough sell. Well, I know it'd be a tough sell with Sophie. I don't think she would go for it, but no. I could totally live in, I don't know if I would do a school bus, but I'd go get like an RV or something like that, or a fifth wheel trailer and put it behind my truck and just tow it around.
But here's the challenges with that is you and I, for how we've set up our businesses, our careers, our lifestyles, we need to have some storage area for tools or whatnot, right?
Yeah. I think if I were going to do it, I would have to still maintain the shop. And then that would be the storage for all my tools. And then the entire channel would just be about building the RV.
Okay.
I would have to make like a hard switch at some point. But like no more furniture builds. It's all just like custom built in stuff for the stupid RV that I bought. And then I just watch my channel plummet.
I think it'd be interesting, though. You could do all these like tech things. Like I made out this like super interesting dresser, kitchen sink, refrigerator, modular transformer thing.
That would be fun. So here's a business idea that I'm just going to give away for free to people. Foot photos, yeah. Only fans, but for feet.
Only feet.
Maybe I haven't talked about this on the podcast before, but I wanted to buy just an empty plot of land and then go buy a bunch of RVs and park it there and just Airbnb them out. But then like also modify them. So I would, I would like do each one would be a custom build and then I would park it somewhere, throw up some solar panels on it and then just start renting it out.
That's a neat idea. Mm-hmm. What would you have a name for it?
No, I don't. Jeez. The world's worst caravan park, something like that.
The caravan carnival.
The caravan carnival.
Not bad.
Yeah, what's the caravan of horrors?
So how is this any different than a trailer park?
It's not. And that's what's fun about it.
It's the next generation of trailer parks.
Yeah, it'd be like a boutique trailer park, essentially.
Okay, okay.
The difference would be that the places would be kind of nice on the inside, and there'd be a little bit less meth.
A little bit less meth. So
less meth, you know, not this, none.
Yeah, less. Come on. There's a Heisenberg somewhere in there.
Yeah, exactly. It'd be the blue, pure crystal stuff, not the dirty stuff you get on the streets.
Yeah, and you're not like shaking it in bottles making mm-hmm. this. This mm-hmm. is this is chemistry.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But you know what this reminds me of? And I really hope you know what I'm talking about. So within the past couple of years, they've started the bringing back like old stuff and trying to make it cool. So mm-hmm. like your idea is taking a trailer park and trying to make it cool.
Yes.
Right. So we have these things called food halls.
Okay.
Which.
Oh, yeah. I think I know where you're going with this, but please continue.
So it's a lot of like food trucks and like bougie like restaurants and whatever. Mm-hmm. But what they basically do is they pack a bunch of these into a small area
yeah.
and charge you just a buttload of money to eat their food, and then they have like a bar.
Yeah. Oh, interesting.
If you're from the 70s, 80s, 90s, you might know these places better as food courts.
Yes. Yes, correct.
But they now rebrand them as food halls, and it's like all the rage of the young kids.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think you're onto something, Zach.
There's one in Toronto called Eataly, which is like a high-end food court, right. essentially. And it's right. like buffet style. It's like, I don't yeah. know. Somebody was like, yeah, let's take this old idea that nobody likes anymore. We'll go high-end with it, and everybody will just love it. And you know what? They weren't wrong, so...
I mean, so like you go into those places, right? And most people are thinking, oh, a food court. I'm going to have like your Wendy's, mm-hmm. your McDonald's, your Burger King, mm-hmm. your really questionable Chinese food restaurant.
Yes, exactly.
And, you know, you're talking $5 to $8 for a meal or something like that. Mm-hmm. Like these food hall places are that 20, Eataly,
$30.
Right. Yeah. It's like a sit down restaurant meal, but in a food court.
Yeah, but you take it to your table on a plastic tray.
Right. But does yours have a bar in it, though?
I don't know. That's a good question. I've never actually been. I'll ask Sophie because okay. she's been.
Okay. So for anybody in Columbus, there is one called Food Hall that's very good. Or it's like Bud Dairy Food Hall or something.
Okay.
And there's another one on the west side of Columbus in Hilliard called Crooked Can. So that one is a brewery
oh.
that has like a food hall in it, which is pretty cool.
I like that. I like that.
Yeah. Good spot.
What's the food truck scene like in Columbus?
It was really hot. Mm-hmm. Probably like 2015 to like 2020. But I think the COVID thing ruined a lot of them.
Yeah, that sucks.
They're still around, but definitely not as prevalent.
Mm-hmm.
But
it's functionally impossible to do it here in Toronto because the laws just make it impossible. I can't remember what it is, but like they can't be taking up like a parking space.
Hmm.
So effectively, you can only have food trucks on private property. They can't be in any public spaces. So they're really limited. But I do love traveling to American cities because there's always a good food truck scene. It's one of my favorite things to do in LA is just drive around to different food trucks.
The reason I like food trucks so much is because it's the complete opposite of the Cheesecake Factory. And what I mean by that is you go to the Cheesecake Factory and they're like 500,000 different entrees you can order.
Okay, yes, I see where you're going with this.
So what's the likelihood that everything that you order is going to be good?
Yes, like vanishingly small.
Right, right. It's not like a Mexican restaurant where everything on the menu is just what combination of beans, meat, lettuce, and cheese do you want?
Yeah, exactly.
With a food truck, you typically go up there and they're like, we have like three entrees and two sides. What do you want?
Yes. And the nice thing about food trucks is, generally speaking, the food is pretty good because it's a competitive market. Like you're always trying to like you basically it's all word of mouth, right? Like you're trying to get like people in an office tower or whatever to all come to you. And they keep the prices low because they don't have like sit down dining. So for a cheap guy like me who likes to eat, it's pretty ideal. You get a good meal for a good price. And, you know, I guess the only downside is that you kind of have to sit on a park bench and eat it. But that's okay. I'm willing to make that sacrifice.
I don't mind. Sometimes it's I feel fancy, you know. It's like going on a picnic without having to bring your own supplies.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's a good way of looking at it. Nobody has time to pack up for a picnic these days.
When was the last time you did a picnic?
Oh, God. I mean, I feel like Miranda's always like, we should go on a picnic. I'm like, yeah, it sounds sounds great. Let's do it.
You know, yeah, those things, somebody in the couple needs to drive them because Sophie and I do this all the time. We'll be like, oh, yeah, that sounds like a great idea. Let's go do a picnic. And then neither of us really pushes that hard for it. But every time you go and do it, you're like, oh, this is nice. You know, you go like set up in a park, the sunset, you know, bring a little bottle of wine or something.
I think the only time we've done a real picnic action is if we go to a brewery that doesn't have food and they're like, oh, yeah, you know, bring your own food. Sometimes we'll like bring a little cooler and like make a shark cutlery board or something like that.
Yeah.
And eat that at the bar. It's nice.
Yeah, that is nice.
I mean, I'm not going to the park, but you know, it is what it is. You know, people, I've heard there are some certain people that really enjoy picnics in the park, though.
Yeah. Do they have names?
First one is James Head. He's one of our patrons. If you didn't know where I was going with that.
No, I did. I got you. Don't worry.
Yeah. So our newest patrons this week, we've got a rigid fan, James Head. And I'm really bummed that his name wasn't Robertson or Phillips.
Yeah.
That would have been a really strong woodworking name.
Maybe he's starting a new type of screwhead. The James Head.
So we'll get back to this because I have a genuine question that I want to ask you. Okay.
RE screwheads?
Right.
Okay.
So let's circle back, touch base.
Let me make a little note of it here.
Yeah. All of those in-office words that people say. next patron we got is an apprentice. Ooh. We got and I don't know if this is a typo, but I'm going to read it. How they spelled it. The Noble Wicking. It looks like Viking with a W.
Oh, okay. Okay. Noble Wiccan, like the...
No. Not like the witch thing. Like no, okay. Viking.
Okay.
Like with a G. But I did a little snooping to try to figure it out. And they're from Germany. So maybe it's one of those things where they like don't pronounce a letter, like pronounce it differently.
Could be. Could be. Maybe they're just screwing with us. Maybe it's a typo. Well... Noble Viking, Noble Viking, reach out. Let us know.
Maybe it's like, maybe they think one of us has a lisp.
Yeah.
I don't know. Well played, though. Well played. I like it. I like it. And then our returning top tier patrons, our Cockers, we've got Luke Schmidt, Derek Jennings at Pecan Tree Designs, which, by the way, Derek sent us a question for the after show.
Yes.
It's a doozy. I haven't read it, but she's long.
Okay.
Corey Duvall, Jason Price, back from his IRS troubles at Priceless Pro Designs, and Scott Eastman at Eastie's Woodshop.
And
the Power Cocker, formerly known as Wes, who I think also got in trouble with the IRS because he canceled for like a couple minutes.
Uh-oh.
But then I think he felt bad. Maybe the IRS gave him his card back or something, and he came back on. So
maybe he was just screwing with us.
Yeah. Yeah. But hey. Oh, the other thing is, it is episode 50. So typically, the patrons get access to the after show and everything like that. But as our sort of self-promotion, self-marketing, if you've ever been curious about the after show, but have that wanted to plop down like $2 a month or whatever the hell it is. If you go to patreon.com/offthecutpodcast, tonight's after show is free.
That's right. That's right.
So you just go on Patreon and you click on it and then you can listen to it. But all the other ones will be locked since you're too cheap.
since you're too cheap. And again, I think it's important to note that we do support people scamming the system. If you just want to give like $2, listen to some after shows, and then delete it.
Oh,
we're not going to hunt you down. We're not going to hunt you down.
Oh.
Yeah.
I mean, think of it. It's like the equivalent of buying something on Amazon and then returning it, or like,
you
know, getting a recip saw at Home Depot, using it for a day and returning it.
Yeah. But if you like what you see, if you're what you hear, I suppose, then stick around.
Right. Yeah. Right.
We try and make it fun. We try and do some bonus stuff for the patrons. Speaking of, and also I was going to say that patrons support our software addiction.
Yeah, as we're trying to make this easier.
So for people who don't know, we are now on our, I don't know, fifth, sixth podcasting platform.
Who knows?
Yeah, we've honestly lost track of this time. We keep doing like, you know, like 1 month introductory things to all these podcasting platforms, and they all just suck so badly. So we just found a new one today. We're trying it at StreamYard today. Paid $25 for that. So thank you, patrons. We appreciate it.
Right. Yeah. And so I guess for patrons and everybody listening, the reason we're trying out these streaming softwares, one is because it'll make our job of like, you know, mixing, editing, uploading the podcast, everything faster, easier. But also once we find one that works, it will open the gates to easily, is the emphasis on this sentence, easily get guests on the show, because right now it's really difficult to be able to capture crisp audio on all ends and like sync it all up. And it's that's truly why we just don't do guests very often, because we haven't found a really streamlined way to do it.
Basically, the way it worked before was we would send a Google Meet invite to somebody. We would then have them record themselves locally.
If they could figure it out.
If they could figure it out. And there was always like, you know, people didn't wear headphones, so they captured their own audio and our audio at the same time. And it was always a bit of a nightmare. So we're trying to find a really streamlined solution so that we can easily have guests and also make our lives a little easier. Because every single episode, I download an audio file from Eric. I put that into an audio editor. I had to make sure everything's synced. I chop off the ends. I put the intro song on. So, you know, it's, you know, it might only take 20-30 minutes to do it, but it's a little bit of work for every episode. So if we could streamline that, we can, you know, get the stuff out to you guys quicker.
Yeah. And guests, like we already have a list of guests. I've got a couple that said yes already. And I was just like, hey, you know, are you interested? We just, you know, we're working through some tech details. So we've got people lined up.
Yeah.
So I guess I'll tease one. We got Jason Bent from Bent's Woodworking.
Nice.
Said that he's all in. He started listening to the podcast. He enjoyed it. Talked to him a little bit the other day. Going to see him next week at a Festool-related thing that I had to sign an NDA on. So
you've already
you can read between the lines of what's happening there. But yeah, I could be able to talk more about that next week. I'm excited.
Yeah, nice.
So circling back to our new patron.
Yes.
James Head. I made a horrible attempt. Sorry, I had a burp coming. That was the awkward pause. Horrible attempt at a joke talking about his name should have been Phillips Head. But if you had to make a new bit head.
Triangle.
Oh,
it came to me. I was like, I said it half joking. I was like, wait a minute, that might actually work pretty well.
Yeah, because you have such sharp points, and like, even if it starts to dull, you have such a large point of contact. Son of a gun.
I've cracked the code. I'm just going to Google real quick, like triangle screw head. Oh, yeah, it's a thing.
Really?
Triangle screw. I mean, it's not very popular. It must suck for some reason.
Okay. Look up cons of triangle screw head.
Okay.
Why are some constructors using triangle head screws? This is Cora, which, by the way.
Oh, Cora's.
Man, it says they're known as tamper resistant.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So Nintendo, the video game company, they actually have their own screws. Oh, yeah. Look. Okay. So it's probably not going to come up particularly well on camera. I have my Nintendo Switch right here.
Yeah. And
let's see. Can I get this to focus? You can kind of see it. They have like a tri-head design. It's not a triangle, but it's a three-head design.
Okay.
And they made their own screws so that people couldn't take apart the game consoles.
It's interesting. Now, are they the ones that I've seen on like the in the public restrooms where you like the screw head has like a 45 degree angle on it, so you can only turn it, you can only tighten it. You can't loosen it. If you loosen it, the driver bit will basically be sheared out.
Oh, interesting.
Have you seen those?
No, I haven't seen those.
Yeah.
So that seems like a nightmare, though. Like, what happens if you're like setting up a commercial washroom and you want to loosen it? You're like, oh, dang, I did the screw wrong. I had to loosen it. And
yeah, I've never looked into them closely enough to know if there's like maybe like a slot on the outside that you'd have to basically put like a impact like hex
bit
that would have a little slot or something on it. I don't know.
Right. Have you ever seen, so you know what a Torx head is, right? Like the star, I think.
The only screws I use.
Yeah. Okay. But there's also a Torx security where there's like a little circle in the middle of the Torx head. So you have to have a bit with the right indent in order to slot over the circle. It's kind of an interesting design. You see those on a lot of electronics too. It's basically electronics company's way of saying, hey, we don't want you mucking about with this thing. But that's an interesting design of the like a cambered screw heads that you can only go in one direction.
Yeah. Yeah. The triangle screw head also seems very interesting. I also came across a Google Images thing for Popular Mechanics 11 strange screws you don't see every day.
Oh, interesting.
These are,
you got it. So yeah. have you ever had the misfortune of coming across a posi drive screw?
Oh, Festool loves posi drive screws.
Oh, it is so annoying. So back in the day, I used to have a 1977 Jaguar XJS. And it was, every single screw on it was a posi drive. And it's like, for those of you who at home who don't know, a posi drive screw head, it looks like a Phillips. It's very close, but if you try and use a Phillips head screwdriver in it, it's just going to strip out and round out the screw pretty quickly.
Yep.
Yeah.
It looks just like a Phillips, but then in between like the crosses, they got these little teeny tiny slits.
Yeah.
And is the idea that that's supposed to help your bit seat in there better?
I would assume so. I guess it's more surface area for applying torque or something like that. I don't know.
it adds more points of contact or something.
Yeah, and I think it's also like a different taper than the Phillips head.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Phillips head is like, you know, like 20 degrees from the point, or maybe it's even closer to 45 or something like that.
Yeah.
Posi drive's like more flat.
Yes. It seems like it tapers less.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. That'd be a good title for the episode, the one where they get screwed.
And also I'm always curious to hear, do you have many Robertson screws? I don't think Robertson doesn't really exist in America, does it?
So you can buy them, but like if you go to Home Depot, you're pretty much going to find Phillips and Torx. Like if you're buying like like 5 pounds of screws, right?
Yeah.
Like deck screws.
Yeah.
I would say Torx is definitely the most common not Phillips.
Okay. I cannot stand like deck screws that are Phillips. It's like, why would you do that to yourself?
You're a psychopath.
They're horrible. Like the bit will cam out all the time.
Yeah. It's awful. Insane. Even with an impact.
I've seen 3-inch framing screws that have Phillips heads on. It's like, oh, who would buy that?
They're usually cheaper though, aren't they?
Are they? Is that? I don't know. Because we just don't have those up here in Canada. We have Robertson, which is the square for those of you at home who don't know. And then occasionally you'll see Torx, but Torx is even pretty rare.
Really?
Everything is Robertson here.
And maybe this is just, you know, if you go like specialty cabinet supply store or whatever, but I can find Robertson, but really the only ones that I regularly will find are the Craig pocket hole screws.
What's a Craig? Okay, hold on. Now I gotta look that up. What's that look like? Craig, it's
a pocket hole screw.
It's like a particle board screw, right?
Did you never use a pocket hole before?
No, I'm one of these purists that I... I see. So the pocket hole screw has a Robertson head on.
I didn't explain that.
Okay, I thought it was its own specific thing. Oh, that's interesting that Craig... I wonder if... Where is Craig from? Is it German?
Sounds German. The girl I talked to was out of Indiana.
Okay.
Or Illinois or something like that.
I wonder why
they use Robertson. I don't know. I have no idea where they're from. That's interesting.
Well, that was we just killed 10 minutes talking about different types of screws. I actually really enjoy. Have you ever seen those screws? Like, who's the company that sponsors everybody with the screws?
Power Pro.
Yeah. Yeah. I like the. I mean, you know, they do sponsor everybody, but I like the design of their screws. Like, there's a few things that they do. There's like little like spiky blades at the start of the screw, and then they have like the counter twist in the middle of the shaft and stuff like that. I like that they're trying stuff. Everybody had the same screws for 10, 20, 30 years or whatever it was, and they're trying something different. And I appreciate that.
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I've ever bought screws in the last 2.5 years of woodworking.
Oh, really? So who hooks you up?
Whenever like Craig sends something, they're like, oh, here's a gallon of screws.
Oh, okay.
Or like I bought some like construction screws like when I first started, and then I just like don't really use screws anymore. So
right.
I don't know. I just haven't bought them.
Yeah, I never buy them, but it's because I have them left over from like building houses for people.
Right, you just like, oh, I got half a pound left. I'm gonna take this home.
Exactly. So there's there's drawers in the shop that are just filled with all sorts of different lengths of screws.
That's fair. You know what you really need to get, and they're crazy expensive.
Okay, I like where this is going.
Yeah. So Festool makes their sustainer thingy, right?
Oh yeah.
But they make a really good sustainer that has like individually sized bins, like in bunches of different lengths, mm-hmm. and it's on a grid system. So you can reorganize them any which way you want. And when you close the lid, they're perfectly closed.
Okay.
And you can take the bin out. Like if you just want to like take the bin, I think DeWalt makes one too, don't they?
I have a Craftsman like, you know, pack out system.
Yeah.
That has little bins like that. I've never found one of those that I really truly like, though. Enough that it, like, I don't know. I've never found one that I'm like, I'm going to spend the 2 hours it's going to take to organize this screw container.
Yeah.
I just have a drawer filled with the boxes that they come in. You know, you buy them in a box of 50 or whatever, toss it in the drawer, just leave
Psychopath.
It like that. But it's great. It's got, they come in little plastic containers. They say what it is right on the top of it in clear, legible writing.
But what if you happen to buy a different brand? Or they change their standard of what box they go in?
Well, it's a pretty big drawer, so the box is just kind of free float in there. It's not like perfectly organized, but it works.
See, I get a very odd satisfaction out of organizing things. Like those Festool things were like $100 a piece.
Yeah. I hear you. I also get the thrill of organization, but then I balance that against like, okay, I could spend 3 hours organizing my screws, or I could build something and try and like make a, you know, a video right now. And I always come down on the side of video.
Yeah, but I mean, come on, organizing your screws. Think of how much ad revenue you're going to get from organizing your screws. You can put a sponsored segment on your screw organization.
Yeah, that's true. I wonder if there would be a way to make an entertaining video about organizing your screws.
You just have to put a stupid title and thumbnail on it.
Yeah.
God, YouTube screwed me.
Yeah. This is why I don't have the dust collection properly set up on my table saw.
Because you never attach the hose, right?
Yeah, well, yeah, basically. But it's like, I can't make a video out of it, so I'm never going to do it.
That's fair. That's fair. People love dust collection videos, especially if you purposefully, like, because people are like, oh, if you put a hard 90, like, your dust collector is going to explode. Dude, I want to make a dust collection video where I use only hard 90s.
Yes, yes. I want to make a, like, most dangerous dust collection. It's got, like, no static dissipation. It's, like, all the dust actually goes, like, past a barbecue lighter on its way into the dust catch or something like that.
And then you have to market it that it's perfect for sucking up screws.
Yes.
And metal objects.
Yes.
And you put some sandpaper inside, so when the screws go over these 90-degree corners, they hit the sandpaper and spark. That'd be perfect.
I don't think people really understand how hard it is to get things to light on fire.
Yeah, I was actually, it might have been the two of us talking to Jay Katz, that he is working on a video basically trying to start a static fire with a dust collector. Was he talking to us about that?
I think so.
Yeah, I cannot wait to see that video.
Because it's really, like, I've been on construction sites where guys are MIG welding something, like a steel beam.
Yeah, and so you got slag.
I'm watching molten slag fall into a pile of sawdust and then just nothing happens.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, it's really surprisingly hard to get things to light on fire.
That could be a new YouTube channel.
Yeah.
Just lighting things on fire.
Right? People say that all the time. Every time I make an electronic project that's in wood, they're like, oh, that's going to catch fire for sure. It's like, computer parts get up to, like, you know, 80 degrees on a bad day. It's like, you're still, like, almost an order of magnitude away from what it takes to ignite wood.
Right.
So I think one day I might do, like, a computer case and then pack it full of sawdust and see if I can get it to catch fire.
That would be good. I noticed and I haven't watched your most recent video, but the one you put out like a couple weeks ago, a month ago or something like that, that you made this deliberate comment of like, yes, I'm not worried about it lighting on fire. I was like, oh man, he must get raked over the coals for this.
Oh yeah, all the time, all the
time. That's awesome though.
Yeah, I started putting in little comments to like, you know, like respond, because people are very predictable, especially in large numbers. You know, if you get like, if you do a couple similar videos that get seen by hundreds of thousands of people, you can predict pretty accurately some of the like trolly comments you're going to get. So I try and get in front of them a little bit sometimes.
Right. So like, here's an example, my pricing video, which was going to come out today, but you know, we dumped that sponsor, moved to a different one.
Right.
I like filmed the whole thing like a while ago. And then I was rewatching it. And I'm talking about like, oh, you multiply like your hourly rate by your hourly, by the hours. And then I was like, I know that there's going to be some person out there that's like, well, actually I charge by minutes or days. It's like, okay, it doesn't matter. Whatever unit of time multiplied by your unit rate. Like so I did like a hard cut. I was like, hi, Eric from the future, because I know somebody's going to complain about this.
Yeah.
Yes. You can do hours, minutes, seconds, days, weeks, whatever you want.
Now you back need to get one of those. I think lawyers have like a special tool for keeping track of their hours. And it bills in like increments of like 3 minutes or something like that. I can't remember exactly what it is. You just like press a button and it starts recording. And then it like rounds up to the nearest 3 minute or 2 minute mark or whatever it is.
I like that. I'm going to do that when my mom starts telling me a story that starts with. So I was on Facebook the other day.
You hear just click in the background.
I'm like, keep going, mom. You're getting an invoice for this story. Well, we got something new tonight, Zach.
Oh, yeah? What's that?
We got a question. A non-patron question.
Oh, how did we get it? Email?
I honestly don't remember. I just put it on a list.
Okay. All right, cool.
This comes from Santiago Osorio. That is a strong name.
Exotic.
Yeah. Okay.
I like it.
So Santiago says, woodworking is usually got a lot of people, not a business. I find that many great woodworkers never make it their full-time business in my area, and they're way more skilled than I am. Why do you think that is? Will making profit or any money from woodworking soil it? I think that's a great question.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't really understand the first bit, but.
Yeah. I think it might have been a typo.
Might have been a little bit of a typo there. I mean, so to answer, I think the thrust of his question, being a good woodworker and being a good business person are not necessarily the same thing, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that's why you see so many of these guys who run like little like side businesses where it never blossoms into like a full on business, is because just because you know how to put together pieces of wood doesn't necessarily know, you know, how to market or how to find, you know, capital and make the right investments and how to hire people and stuff like that. And it's I don't know. Do you have any thoughts on this?
I guess the first thing that kind of popped up to me is if somebody asks me what I do, I don't say that I'm a woodworker.
Yeah.
I
say I'm an influencer.
I hate to say that, but yeah, no, I would say I am a content creator in the woodworking space. Like, sure, a lot of my stuff is centered around woodworking and teaching people how to woodwork, but there are way better woodworkers than I am that make way less money than I do.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying like I make $1 billion a year, but there are people that are unbelievably talented at woodworking that would probably struggle to sell something for $500.
Yes. 100%. I often say to young people who don't know what they want to do, you know, like when you're around that age, 17, 18, you're trying to think, oh, what should I do when I go to university? I'm really lost. I'm feeling kind of aimless. A lot of people, their default thing is, oh, go get a liberal arts degree, right?
Yeah.
That's like the classic refrain.
Yeah.
I always tell people, go get a business degree.
Yeah.
Because if you decide in the future that, hey, I want to be a woodworker, or I want to open a coffee shop, or, you know, my passion is, I don't know, what's a weird passion?
Socks.
Perfect example. I'm super passionate about socks. If you have a business degree, you're in a great position to then start a sock company.
Right. It's the critical thinking skills.
Yeah. And just like the fundamentals of how to run a business. There's a lot that goes into it. And I don't know. If you already have a passion that you love, a business degree or just the fundamentals of business, you don't necessarily have to get a degree. Go get one of those like Business for Dummies books or whatever.
Yeah.
But the skill of business complements passions very nicely.
I couldn't agree more. And to give an example that's related, I had a good friend that started a candle business because they loved candles, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like, who doesn't like good smells? Am I right?
Fair enough.
And so she's starting this candle business, and this is not meant to be an insult at all. Doesn't know a damn thing about running a business, you know, keeping track of your books, anything like that, right? Mm-hmm. So she's just selling a bunch of candles, buying tons of stuff. And then end of the year came. She had no idea that you had to like make quarterly estimates on your taxes. Here in the US, you got to make quarterly payments on your taxes for a business.
Yeah.
I had no idea to start another bank account or like run her books or anything, and basically went out of business because it was the end of the year and she's like, I don't have money to pay all this. Like,
right.
I think that could capture a lot of people. Say you're a woodworker and you're like, I want to start a business, but you don't know anything about starting a business and you don't consult a professional, or like, you could run yourself out of business just from taxes alone.
Oh, totally. I mean, step number one, get an accountant, CPA, like we discussed at the last week's after show, I think.
It's the best money you'll ever spend when you start a business.
100%.
You don't have time for that.
But even just knowing that you need an accountant is not something that you necessarily would ever realize unless you had some sort of training in business.
No. And so, like, that's what I fully agree. I think if you don't know what you want to do, like getting a business or degree, something like that, it's a fantastic place to start. So let's hit the second half of the question.
Okay.
Will making a profit or any money from woodworking soil it?
Yeah. I mean, there is some truth to that. Like, turning your passion into your job, it can be great sometimes, but it can also take some of the fun out of your passion when you have to go and do it, right?
True.
I mean, personally speaking, I still love building stuff, though it's, you know, even though it's my business. So it hasn't, like, taken all the fun out of it. But, yeah, there are days when you're like, I'd really rather go hang out with Sophie than I would go build something, but I got a deadline or I have to finish this thing for a client, right? So.
And I mean, I think we are different than a lot of people because, yeah, we're in the woodworking space, but 99% of the time, you and I are not building furniture, boxes, cutting boards for people.
No, like, clients in the traditional sense.
Right, right. I think that would ruin it for me if I was just cutting board, cutting board, cutting board, cutting board, cutting board.
Yeah.
I couldn't do it.
That's why people always ask me, hey, can, like, you know, whatever project it is, hey, can I buy one of those? And I'm like, no, I'm not interested. I don't want to do the same thing twice. Like, I want to figure out what the next thing is.
I very rarely get people asking to buy what I make.
Oh, yeah?
And I think I was just like, I mean, it's probably just because they just think it sucks.
Well, no, but also you have you have your plans available too, right? So you're pretty clear from, I don't know. I think the plans is a nice way of saying, hey, I'm not going to build it for you, but here are all the instructions that you can use to do it yourself, right?
Yeah. I think in my three-ish years of doing all of this, I've had maybe 5 or 10 people total reach out and be like, hey, I saw this video of this thing that you made. Will you make me one? Like, that seems kind of low, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. I would have assumed more.
Right. I rarely get it.
Every time I want to do one of these retro game console videos, I always have, like, I don't know, maybe 10 people reach out to me and ask if I'll build one for them. And I always say, sure, but it's going to be like $3,000 because they're really labor intensive to make. And people are always like, oh no, way too much money for me. It's like, okay, fair enough.
I told you I had somebody reach out asking, wanting me to build that bathroom vanity that I was pumped about. Right.
Yeah.
But I have other people reach out asking me to build stuff for them unrelated to anything I've built. And my first response back is always, well, what's your budget?
Yeah.
And a lot of times when I ask people that, no response.
Yes, yes.
But it's like, I ask that question because for most people, that'll kill it right away.
Yeah.
Like, if you're going to pay me a good amount of money to build something and I want to build it, then sure.
Yeah, then we can talk. But otherwise, I don't know that there's any point in this conversation going any further.
Yeah. But I guess my answer to his question about, like, will building – sorry, I got a hair in my – in no my worries. Eye or something. My question, or his question about, like, will making money from woodworking soil it? I will say yes if your number one primary goal is just acquiring and collecting money.
Okay.
For the sole purpose of collecting money. If you're like, oh man, cutting boards are bangers, I'm going to make the same cutting board 500 times over.
Yeah.
Because I can then collect a lot of money, that would kill it for me.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know, yeah. I could, I don't know. I do, sometimes I enjoy the setup and, like, I enjoy thinking about it. I, like, if somebody was like, I'll give you, you know, $100,000 to make 500 cutting boards. I don't know, does that check out? That's like $200 board. Anyways, regardless, I would get kind of into the process of, like, how can I set up my shop to be the most efficient and how can I do this in the least amount of time? But I think that would wear off pretty quick.
Okay. Okay. So I like the sentiment of what you're going at with there. You're saying somebody is presenting you a new challenge that you have not done before.
Yeah.
And you're really interested in the mental construct of like, oh man, how can I solve for this challenge?
Yes.
Okay, but let's say you got $100,000 for 500 cutting boards.
Yeah.
You did accomplish the challenge, and now 2 months later they ask you to do the same thing.
Yeah. I think I'd be over it by like board number. I would set up my production run and then I'd be bored of it by like board number 5.
It's like once you had like the proof of concept, you're like, yeah, this works.
Yeah, oh yeah, I can make a cutting board in like 30 minutes or whatever. Then yeah.
All right. No, I agree. I think the number one priority, if you want to take woodworking and make money off of it, is truly stick with what you enjoy doing and let that guide you.
Yep.
Because you're going to ruin it if you don't.
Yeah, I think, that's probably true of most things, right? Like, as soon as you start prioritizing money above all else, it definitely does have the potential to ruin it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I would say.
But it doesn't necessarily have to be that way.
No. So I like this question. This is another one from Santiago. He sent in a whole boatload. Oh, I like this one. Have you ever been in a fight?
Yeah, I've been in a couple fights.
Any good stories? Yeah, anything you need to divulge?
I think I talked about it on the J-Cats episode, the one New Year's Eve where me and my friends fought all the bouncers.
Oh, yeah.
That was a good time.
Well, you can't rehash that one because that was in the after show.
That was an after show, yeah. If you want that one, you got to pay for it.
Oh, man, his story was hilarious.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he had a good story. I'm trying to think of like any
cops or the bouncers or whatever you're talking about.
Yeah.
You're like, this guy's a business mogul. And then you hear these like, oh, you're like, oh, my God, he's a real person, too.
Yeah. Well, tripping.
Yeah. Right.
I think when I was like 18 or 19, I probably got in a couple little scuffles here and there, but nothing to write home about.
Yeah.
I got a pretty good scar. I don't know if it'll show up on camera. I have a pretty good scar on my temple from a guy had this big ring and he punched me in the side of the head. And I had to go to the hospital afterwards and get some stitches on it.
Nice.
Yeah.
What age do you say this one was at?
Yeah, probably 19, something like that. 18. Oh,
peak fighting time.
Peak fighting time. Just brimming with testosterone.
Right. You know, I think I've only been in one altercation outside of hockey.
Yeah. Hockey is hilarious because you can do things on the ice that you could never do in the real world.
Right.
And it's just like, it's fine.
You're like, you're good.
Yeah.
You're good.
You could literally just punch a guy in the face and no consequences. They broadcast it on TV all the time.
Right.
And there are no consequences.
And you're fine. Yeah. Yeah, you're not getting an assault charge.
Exactly.
Anything
but
like
if
that.
You did it just outside the arena, like on the steps of the arena, you'd be locked up for years.
Yeah. You're in jail. Lots of hockey fights, but the only altercation I've ever been in, and I think this also might have been told on the J-Cats episode, and if it has, let me know. But did I tell you the time where we were at a concert?
Yeah.
And some guy tried to punch Miranda.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So I think that was the story we talked about in the after show too. So again, if you want to listen, if you want to hear that story, that was a doozy. But
that's a teaser for the after show.
Yeah, right. We're trying to sell the after show here. We got an episode 50.
Yeah.
We got to convert. That's really the only fight I've ever been in.
Fighting is stupid. Always try and de-escalate and walk away.
You're not going to win.
Yeah, best case scenario, you're still getting semi-beat up.
Right. And be like trying to have a reasonable conversation with the guy who runs Odie's Oil.
Exactly.
It's not going to happen.
Yes.
Oh, people still love the Odie's Oil joke.
Dude, yeah. I've never seen a company with worse PR.
Yeah.
It's just too easy to dunk on them because they're all so unlikable.
Yeah. I mean, come on. Like, why can't we need a woodworking company that's like the fast food companies on social media, like Taco Bell and Wendy's and stuff. Yes. Those companies are hilarious.
Yes, that would probably be the only reason I would ever go on Twitter is to follow Wendy's and Taco Bell. That's what they do.
Because they just dump on each other all day.
Yeah, yeah.
Or like Applebee's and Chili's and like stuff like that. Like,
do you think we could get the owner of Odie's Oil to be on the podcast?
I don't even want to talk to him.
But it'd be so funny.
Yeah. I don't know. I was listening to the podcast that Steve Ramsey does. Mm-hmm. And I think he tried to get the Odie's Oil guy. And then whoever was kind of like the forefront of being bullied by the Odie's Oil guy to be on his show.
Oh, wow.
And like hash it out live.
Yeah.
And one of the parties vehemently disagreed with being on it, which I can only imagine is the Odie's Oil guy.
Yeah, yeah. What was that guy's name? Ska Woodworks or something like that?
I don't know. That was during the time where I was banned from Instagram.
Gotcha, gotcha.
So I had heard about the story through the grapevine and got the highlights of it, and I still was like, yeah, that mirrors the relation that you and I had with him and John from Lincoln Street also had with him. So I was like, yeah, all right, this guy is a turd. Certified turd.
Certified turd. Maybe we should make that a new tier for the patrons.
Certified turd.
Odie's Oil fan, and then parentheses.
Certified turd. That's pretty good. All right. All right. Odie's Oil fan. Certified turds. People are going to be pissed. They're going to be like, I gave you that $3. And it's like, yeah, then. You know, Patreon takes their fees. We got to take taxes out of it. It ends up being like $1 a month. But hey, we still appreciate all you certified turds out there. We appreciate you listening.
Watch us just lose all our Odie's Oil tier fans.
Well, that's, we're trying to berate them so they jump up to be a rigid fan. Well, what do you say we wrap this guy up and head to the after show? We got some questions for the after show. We got... You know, all kinds of stuff to talk about. We started late tonight.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, but
because we're going to do the after show for free, should we keep the live stream going?
Well, I don't know. What if we want to say questionable things and air grievances?
That's true. That's true.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay. You're right. You're right. You're right.
Do I have any grievances?
I mean, I always have grievances.
I don't know. I'll think about some. I might have some grievances there.
Plus, we got to have a bathroom break, and that'd be boring for the people watching at home anyways.
Right, right, right. Yeah, so I say we wrap it up here. Okay. And as a reminder, everybody listening, all the freeloaders, if you go to patreon.com/offthecutpodcast, you can get this episode's after show, episode 50, for free. You just go to the website, you scroll down, and you just hit the play button, and she'll start playing for you.
And seeing as we've done something nice for you, I'm speaking to all the freeloaders right now.
Right.
Do something nice for us and send us a question.
Yeah, send us a question. Share the podcast.
Yeah.
Whatever you want. or if you like the after show, decide to see if you want to pay for it. We gotta bring out the heat tonight, Zach. We gotta bring something spicy to keep people going.
Okay.
But all right, well, we'll wrap it up here and we'll see you at the after show. If you can't figure it out, well, that's on you.
See you, everybody.
See ya.